Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? Come and give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Let's pray. To be pleasing you. Come and sing it from the bottom of your heart. Let's focus on pleasing God this morning. I really want to do. To be pleasing you. This morning, we worship you, we adore you, we bless you, we honor you this morning. Thank you for bringing us together on a Sunday morning like this. We're grateful, oh God, we're grateful that you keep us going, you keep us alive, and you keep providing, you keep supplying, you keep on giving to us. The least we can do is to rise up and come into your presence to give you praise and to worship you. We've come, oh God, I pray that you give to us a word in season and that you affect our lives and that you will teach us, you will train us, you will impart, that you change lives, oh God. Continue to change lives. Thank you for your presence. I know none of us are leaving the same as they came. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And somebody said amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. In the presence of the Lord. Wow. You're welcome to church this morning.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you have your Bibles and your pens and your pencils and you're ready to receive what God has for you. As the person sitting next to you, are you ready for what God is about to tell you? What did he say? Wonderful. Somebody will wonder, or many people wonder, why we come to church. Isn't it? Many people don't like to come to church. Many people don't want to come to church. Many people think that you don't have to come to church to serve God. That you don't have to come to God to be a Christian. But you see, it's all ignorance. Amen. It is all ignorance. It is all the lack of knowledge. You get it? It's all the lack of knowledge. The apostle said that, oh, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says that Paul said something in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Verse 1. He says, moreover, brothers, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Because ignorance takes you and limits you a lot in the kingdom of God. Not knowing about something is no excuse. It's no excuse, Mr. Wills. There's no excuse. If somebody doesn't know something, you rather don't know. It does not change anything where your Christian life is supposed to be concerned. Now, We need to get to a certain place in our lives and in our Christian lives. God doesn't need to grow. God doesn't need to improve. You and I are the ones who have to improve. But we need the wisdom, we need the knowledge to be able to improve in every area of our lives. I don't know if you are trying to follow me as I'm moving. Good. So, when people make statements and they don't have the qualifications or they don't have the experience with God, then you realize that these people are very, very, or this person is very, very deluded, or this person is deceived. Because I say time and time again that you cannot make a comment and then expect your comment to be accepted when you are not an expert in a particular area. It's sheer ignorance and sheer disrespect that somebody will stand up and make a comment about medicine, about a doctor, when you didn't even pass science in school. I don't know whether you are listening to me this morning. So, knowledge makes us humble. Knowing and understanding something even makes you quiet and cool. That's why older people, when they look at younger people, they because you look at this, you answer what's going on. And the Bible says it. It says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And the rod of correction is what will take it out. So, the kingdom of God is like a nation. It's like a country. The Bible says that we are the people of God. We are citizens of heaven. Now, it means that the health issues, the education issues, the financial issues, and everything that makes a nation or a country. You see, when you see Guyana, Guyana is just a little representation of what heaven is. Because God is interested and God also manages financial affairs. The finances of God's people is God's concern. The health of God's people is God's concern. The education of God's people is God's concern. That is why education is why we come to church. Just in case you don't know, the more of God's word you hear, the more educated about the kingdom and about Christianity you will be. You are no way advantaged. You are no way profitable if you miss church and you miss more of church. There's no advantage to it. There's no advantage to it. I mean, if you think that, oh, you are relaxing or something, there's no advantage. And you see, I will tell you what you need to know, even if you have to say it 1 million times. Because for me, it's not grievous. For you, it's safe that I will repeat myself and say that thing all the time. Until you get fed up and say, you know what? Okay, I give up. I will come every Sunday. Then we are working. Yeah. That's the point I want to get you to. That's the point God wants to get you to. Yeah. That you do more than you are doing. Yeah. If you really love the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. So the kingdom of God has all the things that you see a nation running in. The kingdom of God has a president. The kingdom of God has a cabinet. God has spokesmen. God has messengers. God's kingdom is so structured. Devil also has his kingdom. And his kingdom is also structured. And that is how you see nations are patterned after the kingdom of God. Because ask yourself, where did we get all our organizations from? It came from God. Even though we don't respect God. If you listen to Bishop preach about the mystery of wisdom. That even all the people who are able to develop and manage things and create things, who don't love God, who don't respect God, who say there's no God, what they are able to do is God who makes them do those things. Where do they come from? And how can you develop an aeroplane and say that when your mother gave birth to you, you came up with it? I mean, how do your mother even give birth to you? The whole connection is back to God. Because God is the one who creates things. He's the creator. So everything. everything we have around us is some representation of God and His kingdom. Are you there? Now, so this morning, I want to take out one ministry from the kingdom of God and focus on it. And that's the ministry of finance. It's a nice topic, isn't it? Your financial life and your prosperity financially, God is concerned about that. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says something. That my God... am I talking to Christians this morning?
Yes.
Carla, am I talking to Christians this morning? Are you sure I'm talking to Christians? But my job shall supply all my needs. Oh, please. Which Bible are you using? Do we believe the Bible? Do we believe the Bible is God's word? But my job. Are you sure? But my uncle. But my little business at St. Pius School. Where's the lady? I saw her somewhere. Where's the lady? But my child father. That's why I fight with my child father a lot. Because she's supplying all our needs. So this your father is a useless father. No. The Bible says, but my God will look at the wrong things. It is God who supplies. He may choose to supply it through your job. He may choose it. He may. It's not a must. He may. It's not constant. He's not forced. He's not obligated to use your job to supply your needs. And it's not a constant. It's not a crossboard that God uses everybody's job. But God supplies our needs according to His riches. Now, it is not according to how the economy of the country is going. If things are tight, it doesn't mean that Christians, we are also tight. If things are tight and Christians, your things are tight, it means that your dependence is too much on the natural things around. Should I say it again?
Yeah.
If when the country has slowed down in growth in the economy, the economy is not good, and it is affecting you, a Christian, it means that you rather are depending more on the system than on God. I'll say it again because I don't think you got it. Because if we belong to a different country, we belong to a different kingdom, and that our president has everything. The Bible said that everything belongs to God. It is God. There's nothing that God cannot supply. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18. Yeah. Let me show you. I think there's a verse there. I'm sure I'm right. Let me see. Where are my scripture? Verse 18. 10, 18? 19. Chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Sorry, 5. 18. If I'm right. Charlie, can you be fast? And all things. Not some things. All things are. All things are of God. But there's all things are of God. They are of God. All things. Anything you can think about, it is of God. It is from God. It came from God. All things are of God. All things. So, the economy of Guyana may be run by human beings who are not competent. It doesn't mean that the people of God will have to suffer. Yeah. Things may be tight, but not tight for me as a Christian. Because my source
Philippians 4:19 again says that, but my God shall supply all my needs, not according to the economy of Guyana. According to what he, God, has. And the Bible says, all things are of God. It means that God does not run out of resources. So when you and I begin to worry and begin to think and begin to get sad, it's you rather who is making a mistake. God has not. Did God tell you that he doesn't have anything more to give you? It's you who is trying to make things look bad. Instead of smiling and walking around and dancing as if nothing has happened, you are showing that things are not working. There's nothing like things are not working in the kingdom of God. Things work all the time. I said things work all the time. There's nothing like there's a shortage or there's a lack. Things work all the time. God, he says, I am the Lord and I change not. Is it Malachi chapter 3? Ah, I'm preaching good. It's a good message. We are the ones who change. We are the ones who are not consistent. We are the ones who move like waves. Things affect us. The wind blows us, and then we try to hold on to something, and it's not holding well. And then we say, what is it? We are the ones who are shaky. God is not shaky. He's the rock of ages, the ancient of days, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So for I am the Lord, I change not. Whether the US dollar, the exchange rate goes up or not, I don't change. I do not change. You are trying to put some rocks outside the church for you to know that the rock, this is the rock. Yeah? Christ is a solid rock on which I stand. All other soil, all is sinking sand. Now, if we depend on the economy of heaven, then we need to understand how it works. You need to understand how it works. Why tithing does not work for some people. People say, I pay tithe, I pay me tithe, I is this, but I don't see the blessing. Many people are like that. In fact, those people are trying to make tithing look like it doesn't work. Romans 8 and verse 20 says, but all things work together for good. Many things come together for things to work. It's not just one thing that makes things work. If you look at church, the church working is not just the pastor preaching. It's also the songs. It's also the music. It's also the prayer. It's also how you also behave yourself in the church. It's also how you behave yourself even outside the church. It is how the church looks like. The church working is not just the pastor only. If you talk about that, you've made a big mistake. The country working is not just President Granger being a good man. He can be a good man and have bad people. Like how Trump has become a president. I mean, it doesn't move me. People are too worried about Trump. But Trump cannot run America by himself. It doesn't work like that. You wait and see. He will get quiet and quiet and you wait and see. All the things he was saying during the campaign, he can't do anything much. Already, as he was talking about Obamacare and that he was going to repeal Obamacare and get rid of it, after he met Obama at the White House, he said, no, the Obamacare has some good things about it. You see, if you are not sitting on a particular chair, you talk like that. That's why we try and advise you that if you hear of any man of God or something or pastor, something on Facebook, they say, London Bridge something. You see, all of that is foolishness. The guy who brought up the song, he's cursed, you know. He's cursed. And those who go around playing the song, they're also cursed. They just don't understand these things. Because how many of us are willing to start a church and preach? How many of us? How many of us are willing to start a church and preach? And to have women around you that you control yourself, that you don't touch them. Do you know how it feels to have beautiful women in your church and not touch them? Do you have an understanding about it? please don't let me change my message. I'm talking about the finance of the kingdom of God. You can, even you, can you control yourself when it comes to women? You see, pastors have so much power and authority that it you have to be, you have to pray for grace. Oh, ask for breast. Oh, please. It's nothing. It's grace by which we stand. Hey, look at even how you dress and come to church, and how you opening up your body like that. How can we preach you in peace? How can we live here in peace? You ask yourself, how can I preach? When you are talking to me, as I'm preaching you, you're shaking your body like this. Amen. Preach, pastor, preach. Oh, Lord God Almighty. You're killing us. You do that to any man, their bridge will fall down. Their bridge will break down. I tell you. Oh, yeah. It's just grace. You just have to know how to deal with women. Otherwise, you can easily do things that you do it and you regret. Because at that moment, something comes upon you. It's like, and then when you finish, you say, so you don't make songs and crucify somebody as if you have never made a mistake before. I know that I'm preaching to Christians this morning. Yeah. So the economy from which you get your supply is just intact. But you see, we must know how things work in the kingdom. And that's where we fall short. Yeah. For example, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 Peter chapter 1 rather. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. You have the New American? New American. Bible says that. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. That's where many of us fall short. Self-control. You are like an iron that when it heats, it doesn't go down. There's no regulator. When you get hot, you are hotter until something else takes it out. But you yourself, you can't regulate it. It's not a simple thing, though. Jesus coming to take a flesh like ours and living here. That's why Jesus chose not to marry. Hey! He didn't want to disturb the flesh further. Somebody who has had sex and somebody who has not had sex before are completely different people. And in our system, 99.9% have had sex before. So when you're relating with them, it's not pure. There's a lot of feelings around the place. So you can't. Man, I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about, man. All right, and your self-control. It's not that we are bad people, though, but that we are trying to be wise. I don't want to be him at all. God forbid, if my wife dies, the next day I'll marry. You can accuse me that I knew her before my wife died. It's okay. Because if I stay 1 year, 2 years, and then my bridge broke down, He goes, man of God. So next day I marry another one. I choose one and I marry and I continue what I used to do. Continue from there. Yeah, you think I think about you and what you say? When I get into trouble, you are the one who's going to crucify me. Your self-control, perseverance, and your perseverance, godliness. And your godliness, brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness, love. And then he says that, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What the Bible is saying here is that to be fruitful, you need these qualities that were listed above. To be fruitful doesn't mean that you just have to pray and then you are fruitful. It is a combination of factors. It's a combination of things. Like I said, if the church is going to work, it's a combination of things. It's how the choir is dressed. It's how the choir is organized. It's how the choir sings. It's a combination. Even the children. Because sometimes when people come to church and there's no place for their children, they don't want to come back. You don't know what people look at to stay in a church. So all things, including you, is what brings the church together, makes the church work. In the same thing in tithing, giving your tithe alone does not guarantee prosperity really. Because tithing and the blessings that come through tithing are also a package. The first thing I want you to learn this morning is that so tithing does not work for some people because they do not recognize God's provision when it comes. They do not recognize God's provisions when it comes. What I mean is that when we pay our tithe, we're expecting to receive money. As long as we don't get money in return, we think that the tithe didn't work. It's not like that. It is not like that. God, the Bible says that when you pay your tithe, God says he will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings. He didn't say he'll pour out money. Is it for this 1 year that you have not gone to the hospital? You take it for granted. Somebody has been in the hospital almost every month of this year. And all you had was a little flu, a little diarrhea, a little temperature, which Panadol and those things took it away. You are back on track, running your race. Some people have not had it the way you had it. You want to say that, oh, that God didn't take care of you because it was money you were looking out for and you didn't get money, so your tithe didn't work? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, I will pour out for you a blessing. A blessing is not defined as getting money in return. Huh? Did he say, and you get money back? There's nothing like that. So the tithing principle does not work for some people because the recognition of God's blessings when it comes, they cannot see it. In 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman the Syrian, there's an army officer called Naaman. He came to Elisha for a miracle. He was a leper. He came to be healed. And when he came, he was expecting different treatment. Until stated, all scripture must be given in King James Version. Until otherwise stated. All scripture must be in the King James Version. That's the rule. Unless otherwise stated. Why are some of your letters going on the side? We traveled the other day. You see, all of this is make the church work, you know. So I went to the church and the scriptures were going all over the place. Me like the church no more. Hey, they've come back. Wow, it's a miracle. Did you pray? Now, it's a long story. We can't go into all the story. But verse 13 says that Naaman, as he came to Israel looking for his miracle and his healing, was expecting the man of God to do as he expected. For example, yesterday, a church member tried getting onto me. I find it very, very fantastic when church members want to put pressure on you to pick up your phone. Man, send a message, nah? It's easier. Nobody's died. Nobody will die. I tell you, nobody will die. Even if they are dying, they will not die. I declare they will not die. So when you call, you don't get through. There must be a reason. So just shoot a message and say, you know what? A, B, C, D, E. So please, you know, if you get a chance or if you're available, don't tell me that it's important. So what I'm doing is not important. He said, Rev, I'm trying to get you. It's very important. So what I'm doing, Evander, is not important. All the things I do, they are not important. So I should stop and come and do something that is important. That's by responding to your call. You don't talk like that. Nobody will die. When I was coming, when I just turned the corner, then I saw one of my church members. I mean, I choose whether to pick people up or not pick people up. These days, I don't pick people up, really. But not because I am proud, right? But sometimes you have to start doing some things. But when I passed the person, then I started running the thing through my head, right? But then I realized that as I was coming, I was actually counseling somebody in my car. I was on the phone whilst I was driving. I can't stop and pick you up. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Because I'm counseling a church member who has an emergency this morning. And so if I see you and I pass you, what? He passed me like that. You don't understand. I was counseling somebody in my car. So I had to work on my mind and say, Ma, hey, don't worry with them. Just go. Because when I get you to the car, then I can't continue the conversation. Why should I let you come and disturb another? I think if it was you, and I say, man, okay, call me back. I don't think you'd be excited. So when I came, I was out there, parked my car in my car. Some people are knocking my car too. I'm in a car, I've not gotten out. And they are standing there waiting for me. I'm in a meeting. It's fantastical. So what you expect is not always how things will go. And you may not understand why. Leave it to the one who is responding or who is providing to determine. And I say, and I'll say it again, that all the Christian ladies who are confused, and even the Christian men who are confused about the choice of a partner or somebody to choose to marry, you should not be confused. What the person you don't like is the person that God wants for you. You see, that person brings out the evil in you, which must disappear. Without that person, you'll be walking around as if you are perfect together. You're an angel. When that person arrives on the scene, I say, God wants all those demons to run away. You see, Bible says God is not a man. But this is deliverance. I don't have to lay my hands on you. Hearing alone delivers you from bondage. Because we always have something we want. This is the type of man I want. Oh, he's like this. He's kind. He's nice. Yeah. It's a boring life when somebody's good to you. It's boring. You need somebody who give you pressure. And then now let the Christianity in you come out. Let's see. So those of you who just choose what you like, God is likely not to be inside. Mm-hmm. But even that, when you choose what you like, you see, you are very, I mean, that's why you get surprised when some things pop up. Even though you think you like it, there are things you don't know about, which are going to also bring out your Christianity or your non-Christianity. Yeah. There's virtually none. There's nobody. There's not a single person you cannot marry. There's nothing like that. We are the ones who are that selective. Yeah. We want to enter into marriage and so-called enjoy. Say, I have struggled in this life. At least when I'm marrying, I should enjoy. Hey. It's not a restaurant. Marriage is not a restaurant. You should ask those who have been married for a long time. They will tell you. They will tell you. Deliverance. So Naaman the Syrian came to Israel looking for a miracle, looking for a breakthrough. Is that not how we behave? When we come to the church, sometimes, the last time, another church member said, Reverend, I need you to pray for some oil for me. You see, instead of coming to say, Reverend, this is my problem. What should I do? Now, people don't like to be told what they must do. They don't like to be told what they must do. The only time people will allow themselves to be told what they must do is when they go and see a doctor. When they come and see a pastor, they are not coming for you to expect that you are going to tell them something and they are going to do it. No. They will do it the way they want things to happen. That's how Christians are. We are like that. What God tells us, we don't do them. We do things that are suitable to us. That's how we behave. And that's how come when God blesses us, we don't see it. And when you don't see it, then you get discouraged. Then it makes you believe that this thing is not working. This thing is not working, but you are failing to recognize. The problem here is to recognize the blessing that God has blessed you with because you have paid your tithe. The problem is the recognition. And many of us are not able to recognize. Yeah. I went to London to preach the other day, three nights. The last night when I was coming, whether they forgot or not, even the water, they didn't give me water to drink. It's a habit, right? First day. I mean, normally when I travel, I just take my drinks with me because I have some drinks that I would like to drink. I don't want to come to you and you give me something that I don't like to drink. I is a big man. I could afford to buy drinks, you know. So I'm not going to allow my stomach to be given to you and you're going to disturb my stomach. I need my stomach to stand here Sunday morning to preach. You understand what I'm trying to say? So normally when I travel, I take drinks with me. And maybe because of courtesy and politeness, when you offer me something, I just take it and I just bring back my drinks. It's not that I need a drink. The first day, I think they gave me something. Second day, and the third day, I was rushing. Friday night, I was rushing to come for a meeting here. So I said, no, I'm leaving. Know what I was giving. So I was teaching the people in the car when I was coming. I said, you know what? Even apart from water, you should appreciate my three nights of coming, driving on the highway, back, coming three nights. And you should take out something and say, you know what? Rev, this is not that you need money, but we want to, and it's not that we are paying you, but we want to appreciate. You see, it is all the lack of the recognition of the blessing that God has blessed you. It's just the recognizing. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. That when you come to this church, we fail to recognize that God has brought us. Mr. McLean is here. Anita, your dad. I had a very nice chat with your dad yesterday. I told your daddy to share a testimony. He said, Pastor, testimony? So you know what you're talking about. I said, what? He said, when he starts his testimony, church no go done. And he shared about three or four with me whilst we were standing outside gaffing. I said, wow, God is a good God. He said, Pastor, you don't know what you are talking about. As you come and share testimony, you are talking about. Thank you, sir. And he said, he told me, he's gone to churches. He's been to several churches. His wife even goes to a good church. I said, granddaughter, Chantel said, she's singing a particular Sunday, so he should come and watch her sing. That good grandfather, he dress up, he coming for watch granddaughter sing. He said, since he came, that's it. There's a some recognition has happened. That's what I'm talking about, Evander. That you're coming to this church must you must see whether this is it or this is not it. If this is it, hey, you must take a chair and sit down. Please bring the drink. I ain't going nowhere. If this is it, then you must show that this is it. My search, my moving around has ended right here in this place. It will show by how you also behave around. Naaman when he said, when Elisha told him to go and bath seven times in the River Jordan, the guy was annoyed. He said, River Jordan? I did geography in school. I know what rivers are good and what rivers are not good. And under the good rivers, Jordan doesn't come inside at all. So if I have come, and you are going to do something for me, the least I expected was for you, the man of God, to tell me to go and bath in your river, Jordan. We don't like to do what a pastor will advise us to do. Especially if it is something that, you know, God has directed him to tell you. Yeah. But Naaman was angry. He was wroth. And went away. People are like that. Sometimes they say they want to see Reverend. It's okay. Tell them to hang on. And then when I'm ready and I ask, okay, call the person for me. When they come, they say, oh, they're gone. I said, what do you mean by they've left? They say, oh, they left. There's nowhere to be found. And I realized that. People are very disrespectful. They can't wait. They want things to happen. Okay, I want to see you, Reverend. And then immediately, it's like instant coffee. And you are there. No. Reverend has other things also. Just as you go to Georgetown, they teach you patience, but you don't like it. You have to sit down. Somebody's case is even more emergency than your case. Your case, you won't die, but this person who just came in right now, if we leave the person for 5 minutes, that person might easily die. So let's attend to that person first. And then you are sitting down for 1 hour and say, well, look at how the people, this person just come and they just, you don't understand how things work. He went that way. And said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me. You see, the pastor didn't even go out to see. He felt so big that when he went to the gate and then he said he needed the man of God, the man of God didn't get out. He sent somebody to tell him, go and tell him to go and bath in the River Jordan. The man was bored. He said, he didn't even come out to see me. He even didn't return my call. Something is wrong there. And stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. What does 12 say? Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? He thinks he's the only pastor around. So my uncle is a pastor too. So he turned away. And went away in a rage. In a rage. Can you believe it? You are the one who's coming for healing. You go in a rage. Because he fails to recognize how his blessings are going to come. And his servants came near and spoke unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean. Just go and bath. Just simple bathing. You're in a rage. And of course, when he listened and he went to dip himself seven times in the river, then he got healed. Now he's bringing his gifts. He said, oh, man of God. Oh, you are a man of God. Elijah said, get out of my sight. Get out, get out. Go, take everything. Take it away. People of God, the tithe is the way God uses to bless us. Let us not fail to recognize how. It may not come back in money, but it comes back. God surely blesses us. God surely returns whatever we give to God. He surely rewards us. The Bible says that he's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. God rewards. Whatever we do for God, he does not overlook it. He rewards us in return. Believe it. It will work for you. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Time is up. The tithe will work for you. Believe it. It will work for you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I want to thank you for knowledge. Thank you for understanding. Oh, how we thought that when we give our tithe, that the only way to see and to know and to understand that you have responded is also in money. And this morning you've taught us that it's all things. You've taught us that it comes, except that we need the eyes to recognize how it came. I pray for those eyes for your people this morning in the name of Jesus. Every eye be open. I command every eye to open and to be sensitive to the things God brings our way. May we recognize, may we be people who are recognized, are experts in recognizing the provisions of God. For you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who really, really and indeed provides. Thank you for speaking to us this morning in Jesus' name. I mean, you are here this morning, you are not saved, you are not born again. If you were to die right now, you're not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to give my heart to Christ. I want to be a Christian. I want to serve God well. I want Jesus to come into my heart. You are here like that this morning. You want me to pray with you? Just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. Just your right hand up high. Your right hand up high. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Unless you are responding to the call, your right hand should be down. But if you are responding to what I'm saying, your right hand up high. God bless you. God bless you. You lifted up your hand. I want to ask you to come to the front. I want to pray with you. Come. You lifted up your hand. Come. Come to me. Come. Come. Come to me. I want to pray for you. So lead me to the cross where your love. Come. Clap for them as they come. God bless you, sir.
Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down.
God bless you.
Bring me up myself, I belong to you.
Close your eyes. Church, pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me and I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart and I ask Jesus to come into my heart, to live in my heart, to be my master and my savior. Thank you, Father. I believe with all my heart that by this prayer, I am born again. I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life. And I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.